So welcome to part 8 of War. We have been looking at the timelines in Revelation for the end times. Where are we on the calendar? Well, no man knows the hour or the day, but we certainly can know the times and the seasons and the end of the age, as Jesus said. And oh boy, are we ever close for sure. We've been kind of observing that there might be three things, an unholy trinity to roll out sequentially before things like the mark of the beast, the tribulation, rapture, all of those things take place. As I said, I'm no prophetic teacher, but this is just a little something I feel I have observed and hope it is a blessing to you. The first was world economy has to be controlled. Next, world governance, a one world government. Before the mark of the beast comes in for the one world religion. I just repeat, you cannot accidentally take the mark of the beast. You certainly, in taking a vaccine, and I'm taking no position as to being pro-vax or anti-vax, I don't believe anyone has the right to tell someone what they should or shouldn't do. They can encourage them, they can pass information on to them, and then leave the rest to God. As a believer, you must pray and ask the Lord to guide you in all matters, not just vaccine matters, but in all matters. So I take a neutral position here, and I'm not disclosing my position on it, because I do not wish to influence anyone either way. That is not a sitting on the fence posture, but it is, unfortunately, there are no there's no biblical references specifically to a vaccine. These are things that the Lord asks us to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. But I will say that the vaccines are not the mark of the beast, because certain things have to play out first. And I'm leading to that now in the world religion that is coming. The stage is now set for the third part of the unholy trinity, the spirit of Satan, counter to the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Religion has to have a form of godliness, something that the worshipper wants to gravitate to and say, there's something bigger than me. When Jesus Christ is rejected and the offer of salvation to all who will believe on him through the grace of the Lord, people turn to other things. They turn to strange religions, gods, philosophies, self, all kinds of different thing. But make no mistake about it, religion is actually embedded in all humans, the vacuum that God has created in man to fill that relationship void. We do have a desire to worship something or someone, and it's not far-fetched to imagine that if it were possible to fool even the elect, that we too could be fooled. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Jesus says, "See, I have told you beforehand." It is a warning to us that these things are going to take place and happen for sure. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's about the great apostasy. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. It goes on, ending with stand fast. This is something that we're told. Certain things must happen before certain things happen. But in the meantime, there will be these false messiahs, false prophets, false religions, etc. We were driving along the other day in the car, right here in Mississauga, maybe 2 minutes from our building, and we saw placards. And the placard said, "The Messiah has come." So we thought, oh, wait, I wonder if these are believers, you know, out on the street doing street evangelism. Turns out, no. Turns out there is actually a group of people called Messiah or something like that. And their thing is the Messiah has come from the 18th century or something like that and claims to be the Messiah, the chosen one, etc., etc. We also have groups like Chrislam, which combines Christianity with Islam. I could go on and on about the mixing and matching of religion and false worship and false messiahs, trying to bring about this world religion that we'll all sing Kumbaya, that we'll be Christians, Jews and Muslims will be united, Hindus and Sikhs and Confucius and you name it will come on board as well and say this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, because they will be fooled by the signs and wonders, miracles. They will be fooled by the false sense of peace and euphoric feelings and emotions that will engulf them. And this spirit of religion that takes shape, guess what? There's a little saying in the Bible, sometimes you come across it. It says, but God. But God. Before I get to but God, let me just butt in here and say that while Satan is at work, ultimately having the goal of having followers worship him, that is where the mark comes in. You will be asked to take a mark after these signs, these wonders, all of these things have come about, the world economy, the world governance, everybody has bought into the lie, the deception, if it were possible, to fool the elect, has taken place, the falling away apostasy of the church, and people are now looking out for something that they can plug into, and up pops the beast, who then introduces the dragon, and Satan appears, declares himself to be God, and people bow down and begin to worship. And he says, okay, to identify you as one of my worshippers, you must take the mark. Yes, go ahead, people will say, and that's it. They will either by force or coercion or whatever receive it and not reject it. That is that. Back to but God. Make no mistake, God is in control. He allows things to happen so that he can reveal his glory and his might and his power. This so-called unholy Trinity, the real third person of God's Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is going to counter that in the last days. In Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, I know I'm one of the old men because I've been dreaming some dreams that, let me tell you, it ain't pizza. It's rather apocalyptic. So I know that this is a true saying for sure. You know, as much as we see all of these bad things, as much as we see all of this, know that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. I cannot wait to see this with my own two eyes, where real signs and wonders, real prophetic utterances, real miracles take place in the name and only in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No other name is given under heaven or earth by which men can be saved. There is a video I can't play you, but it shows two things. One is a young fella preaching, a preacher. He must be 5 or 6 years old if you ever hear this young fella preach. Now, he can only do that by the Spirit of God. And then there was a little baby, like maybe a year old, shouting from their crib, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. I see him in the clouds." How can a one-year-old speak like that? And talking about Jesus. So we see that his Spirit is being poured out on all flesh, young and old, and you name it. And it's just so exciting. Yes, the world is depressing now. Yes, things are down. But I have shared this with you to paint the picture, to say you can be prepared, you can be ready. But get ready in your preparation for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in these coming days. Let us get ourselves organized. Let us get ourselves prepared. You know, prepare ye the way of the Lord is what John Baptist in the wilderness was crying. And boy, are we ever in a wilderness. And our John the Baptist prophetic ministry must rise up and say, prepare the way for Jesus. He is coming. He's coming back. And the Holy Spirit is going to pour out. We're not there yet in this tribulation period of true tribulation. We're in some gungo for sure. But it's not impossible for things to rapidly roll out way faster than we imagine. Technology, knowledge, everything has sped up. In the blinking of an eye, this can happen. Look how fast this pandemic has come upon us, and suddenly, and the things it has brought about suddenly, irrespective of your personal beliefs on freedom of movement, rights to choose, all of that, the world is not the same, nor will it ever be. And I hate having to bring what appears to be negative information, but if I don't make you aware so you can prepare and get ready, it would be remiss of my responsibility to you all. You know, the men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 said, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. We are a royal priesthood. It's not just 200 you know, special chosen people in modern day Issachar men. But this is for all of us as believers, having the Holy Spirit in us. We can understand the signs of the times. We must, because we must know the best course for Israel, spiritual Israel and natural Israel to take. I close with this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thank you, Lord, that you have overcome the world. Thank you, you have not left us to wade our way through pandemics, through wars, through pestilence, through attacks, through persecution. We are with you. You are with us. Father, as we go into these difficult days, help us to prepare and to know that your Spirit will be poured out in the last days, and that we can be co-laborers with you, Lord, for your name's sake. Father, I pray now for everybody listening, Lord, that you remind us that the men of Issachar, the men and women of Issachar, the leaders of the tribe and their relatives, can understand the signs of the times and know the best course we're to take individually for our lives and our family, for our nation. This I ask, to give us that and impart that understanding of Issachar unto all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. And then, Father, build us up and prepare us to be laborers for the harvest of evangelism, working signs, wonders, and miracles in your precious name only. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.